Official Podcast, right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zaglul, and on today's show, we're still talking Bulls basketball, but we'll be welcoming on a guest with a different perspective on things. If you remember in our last episode, we were joined by Chuck Swirsky, the Bulls radio play-by-play man. Today, however, we'll be hearing from the writing side of things. So as I mentioned, it's great to get both perspectives on what the Bulls did last week, and fortunately enough, we're having a former special guest return to today's show to talk about everything Chicago Bulls and everything NBA. Now, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zaglul. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets today. Call 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history this summer in Crestwood. It's now time for our special guest. After playing Division III collegiate basketball at Beloit College, he began his sports journalism career, covering high school sports and minor league baseball for the Beloit Daily News. By 1990, he joined the Chicago Tribune, covering the Bulls' second championship three-peat. Following two seasons on the Chicago Blackhawks beat, he went back to basketball, covering the Bulls once again starting in 2000. Today, he continues his work with the Tribune, serving as the beat writer and team insider for the Bulls. Please welcome KC Johnson back to the show. KC, how you doing today? Thank you for being here on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Well, KC, let's start with the obvious here. The Bulls last week made two encouraging picks in the NBA draft, and beginning the conversation with Coby White, whom the Bulls drafted at number 7, what kind of an impact do you see him making in his rookie year? You know, I read up on some scouting reports. He's considered quick, versatile, and able to shoot from long range. What are you expecting from Coby White in his first year in Chicago?
I'm expecting some speed and some athleticism and a lot of mistakes. I think it's pretty well documented that, you know, becoming an NBA point guard is probably the hardest learning curve, particularly in today's NBA, where it's so dominant on ball screens and pick and roll, not only offensively, but defensively. And the kid's, you know, 19, and basically in his 1 year at North Carolina, while a very accomplished season, obviously, making his way all the way up to a high lottery pick. He basically relied on his speed and athleticism and a good shooter as well, and projects to potentially be an impact player down the road, but he is 19. And, you know, I think given the learning curve he has in terms of half court sets and defensive coverages, et cetera, you know, I think that expectations should probably be pretty low, but I'm not trying to be critical of the pick. I think it's an excellent pick because the Bulls are in a position where they need to add as much talent as they can get. And I think, talent-wise, this guy has a chance to be very, 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 very good.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, because in your piece for the Chicago Tribune detailing White's selection, you had reported that White originally wanted to stay at North Carolina for more than one season before a great performance against Duke. Do you think White made the right decision in changing his mind and coming to the NBA after one college season?
No, I think actually his draft made up at the Monday's introductory press conference would be an exhibit of why you don't. I mean, most people had Daniel Gafford projected to be a first-round pick. If he'd come out after his freshman year, he chose to return for his sophomore year. More power to him. I don't know Daniel. I'm sure he had a wonderful college experience and a good sophomore season. And I frankly thought he should have, you know, possibly been a first-round pick again this year, but he dropped to a second round. That's a non-guaranteed deal. I mean, look, Coby White got, you know, a guaranteed deal. He's a number 7 overall pick in the draft. So, I always say players can do whatever they want. And certainly with his draft position, it looks like it was a good decision. And, you know, I talked to Roy Williams actually for a piece I wrote in Sunday's Chicago Tribune over the weekend. And then Roy talked about how he basically, as soon as they lost to Auburn in the NCAA tournament, called Kobe in the next day and said, you know, I know you told me you only wanted to be here. You never thought you'd only be here for 1 year, but, you know, the intel is obvious. You're going to be a high first round pick, and you have my blessing. And then Kobe said that obviously helped his decision immeasurably.
What does White's selection mean for someone like Chris Dunn? Because there have been some rumors floating around that Dunn will lose his starting spot to White, and others are claiming that Dunn's tenure in its entirety is all but over here in Chicago. How does Chris Dunn fit into the picture with the selection of White?
Well, I mean, John Paxson has been very adamant and very clear and very consistent publicly that there's still a role for Chris Dunn, that they have not given up on him as a player. They just obviously are trying to challenge him to get more out of him. You know, privately, I've been given no indications that they're going to shop him either. Now, whether Chris, you know, wants out, I can't speak to that. I have not talked to Chris or his representation since the draft of Kobe White. You know, John Paxson has been pretty clear that they've been wanting to upgrade the point guard position. But as I mentioned before, you know, Kobe White's got a very steep learning curve. So I personally would be surprised if he's the opening day starter at this point. I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before. You know, I do think that there's a role for this on this team for Chris Dunn. John Paxson on draft night even spoke about envisioning some lineups where Chris Dunn and Kobe White play at the same time. Kobe White obviously has the ability to play either on or off the ball. Chris, you know, is pretty well documented to this point in his career is better with the ball in his hands. He's not a knockdown spot up shooter. I think White is more of an accomplished shooter, even at this stage of his career. So, you know, I think that in the Bulls' estimation, their view or their vision is to get these guys in camp and let them battle it out. And hopefully it'll be best for all parties involved and improve the franchise internally with that training camp competition.
KC Johnson here on Sports Talk Chicago. And KC, moving to the Bulls' other draft selection and Daniel Gafford, what does he bring to the table for this team in the upcoming season? I mean, I know he's known to have an imposing presence under the basket. He can rebound and score in the paint. But how do you see him fitting in with the Bulls' current rotation of big men?
Well, he's going to have a great opportunity because, you know, right now all signs point to Robin Lopez moving elsewhere in unrestricted free agency, and their only bigs on the roster are Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., and Cristiano Felicio. And, you know, I've jokingly said that if he can catch a pass that's thrown into him, he's probably ahead of Cristiano Felicio on the depth chart because Chris has struggled with, you know, consistently catching passes at his hands thus far in his career. So, you know, the opportunity is going to be there for him. It's actually funny in some ways. There's been some comparisons to Clint Capela, which obviously is pie in the sky comparisons. He actually, to me, has some similarities to Cristiano Felicio that led the Bulls to giving Cristiano Felicio that bad contract of 4 years and $32 million, in the sense that he runs the floor very well. He's focused on the defensive end. He's got quick feet. He's a rim protector. You know, for whatever reasons, those qualities kind of dried up with Chris after his promising start to his first season and a half with the Bulls. So, you know, the opportunity is going to be there for Gafford. He's admitted that he's not, you know, offensively very advanced. He's more of a, you know, clean up the mess, dunk and put back kind of guy. But if he focuses on defense and running the floor with his athleticism, particularly if he's in there with Kobe White, you know, he's going to get some transition opportunities. And as I mentioned before, the Bulls really are in a position where they just need to add talent and athleticism. And he checks both those boxes.
Now, from an overall standpoint, would you say that this was a good draft for the Bulls? Because, as you know, in years past, there have been many times in which the Bulls have made a bad pick or they've missed out on some talent. Will 2019 be a different story for the Bulls in the draft?
Well, I think it's really premature to always rush to judgment with a draft. I mean, you're projecting 19-year-old kids. You really don't know. I mean, I think the winners and losers tag on drafts the day after are a little premature. You know, who would have thought Giannis would, you know, be coming from the 15th pick to league MVP within however many seasons he traveled that route, you know? So, there, in every draft, there's some people that disappoint, and there's some people that surprise, and then there's some people that hit expectations. I will say, on paper, this draft has been well received by most of the fans across my sphere via Twitter or email. I don't think people are angry at these picks or upset with these picks. Again, that's just in the temperature that I've received from the fans that have engaged with me. But again, you know, John Paxson's out there that it's on the players, you know, I mean, they're going to give them every opportunity to succeed. They're going to try to coach them and give them the resources to be successful pros. And then it's up to the players to reach their potential. But I do think just real simplistically, I think in the sense that the Bulls are in a position where they need to add talent and athleticism. I think both these guys, you know, project to check those boxes. And in that sense, I think it can be viewed as a positive.
Moving now to the Bulls coaching situation, it has since been announced that Jim Boylan will become the Bulls' permanent head coach, receiving a multi-year contract extension. I know that last time we had talked, you had indicated to me that this was likely because Boylan, after a rough start, really connected with many of the Bulls' younger players. Do you think Boylan deserved the extension that he was given?
I mean, he's exactly what the Bulls, you know, from ownership and management standpoint, want right now, in the sense that he's a culture changer and he's a guy who invests a lot of time and energy with player development. And you know, one thing that you keep hearing John Tack say is this care factor for players. I mean, so much obviously was made of that first week on the job when he just came in guns blazing and, you know, publicly critiqued the team's conditioning levels and talked about push-up contests and wind sprints, and then obviously the well-documented disastrous day of, you know, the two or three players raising the possibility of boycotting a practice that Jim called for after a back-to-back set of games, which is atypical in the NBA. And then that was followed up by the 3 hours of team meetings. So, you know, the thing I've always said is those of us, I mean, Jim was around. So, you know, he was obviously Fred Hoiberg's lead assistant. So those of us who knew Jim already, like myself, wasn't really surprised by any of that. That's Jim's personality. But what people didn't see in that first week, and, you know, those of us who knew Jim was trying to include in our coverage, but the headlines were so sensational, is that, you know, that care factor was there, that these players, you know, knew who Jim was. And, you know, he may have browbeat them publicly, but privately he was throwing his arm around them and watching film with them and telling them, you know, here's how I want to make you get better. And I think by season's end, you know, I think even Jim realized that, you know, he was assigned to come in and change the culture. And so he went to an extreme. He was comfortable with that, but I think even he might look back on that and go, okay, you know, maybe I shouldn't have done the 2 5-man substitutions in that 56-point loss to the Celtics. That's just me guessing. I don't know. I'm not reporting that. I've never asked Jim directly about that. But my point is that he knew he had to go to an extreme, and I think by season's end, he'd kind of found his rhythm with the players. And again, the players see through things, and they see a coach who, you know, cares for them, and Jim cares for these guys' success. So in that sense, he's the right fit for the Bulls right now. I mean, is he a great X's and O's coach? You know, we haven't really seen yet. I mean, I think having a full first training camp under his belt as a head coach will help. And obviously this infusion of talent, albeit young talent, can help as well. So we'll see how it all plays out.
Now, granted, I know Boylan got a multi-year extension, but when his contract is up, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Bulls are going to become contenders once again. And I believe I asked you this the last time you came on the show, but I'll ask it again. Is Boylan more so a stopgap coach, or do you see him being around for the long haul?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm not trying to dodge it or evade. I'm really bad at speculative questions. I just that's not my MO. I don't speculate much. I'm more of an observer and reporter. So I will say that theory certainly has some validity, that he, you know, could be a culture changer, and then if they start getting good, maybe you need somebody else in here. But if they start getting good under him, why wouldn't you reward the guy? So I don't know the answer to that. I can understand why it's a debate, but, you know, we just got to see what he's got. A very young team, and he and his staff are tasked with developing that talent now. So we got to see how he does in that regard. I don't think there'll be a burnout factor with him. He's waited for this opportunity for two decades. He's thrilled to be a head coach in the league. So the intensity will not wane. And, if the player development happens and they start winning, I don't see why he wouldn't stick around. So we'll just have to see, like I said, how it all plays out.
Well, now that the Bulls have solidified their coaching situation and their draft choices, the next question is, what will they do this year in the free agent market? Now, there are a plethora of great free agents out there, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant, but I think it's fair to assume that the Bulls aren't interested in any of those three. What are the Bulls' plans this year in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, they've been very transparent with this. And, I mean, interested in those players, yes. Feasible, no, which is why when they made the Otto Porter trade in February, they basically said this is our main free agent acquisition, even though it was a trade acquisition, because he ate up, their space to the point where they don't have enough to offer a max contract. And they just were realistic about their chances to land one of those guys. Quibble whether that what that says about the state of the franchise, given that this is a major market in a major city with a wonderful tradition, that they didn't feel like they'd be able to land one of those premier guys. But, they're being realistic about what they believe their chances were. So they added Otto Porter. They're still going to have, $23 million to spend. And they've made it clear they're going to try to split that up. So they've got needs in the sense they need to add a more big man depth. They need to add some shooting. And, it's been widely reported, including by myself, that they're still planning on adding a veteran point guard because, Kobe White's got a learning curve and Chris Dunn, they're is well documented. They feel had an underwhelming injury-filled season last year. So I think they're going to be adding three guys in free agency in those areas, big man, point guard and a shooter. And they're going to obviously need to do that by splitting up their cap space. So they're not, in my estimation, going to be getting a, first line, front line guy. They're going to be getting more of just solid veterans who know how to play and can help not only contribute to winning, but also help in the locker room with some of the young talent around them.
Thinking about those three positions that you just mentioned, is there anyone in particular that you think the Bulls are going after right now?
Well, the names are pretty well documented. I mean, I do still think they will have, they'll check the price tag on guys like Patrick Beverley, Ricky Rubio, and Darren Collison. I personally think of those three, Rubio is really the only possibility. And I'm guessing here, but I think that you'd even probably end up going a little bit lower salaried tiered player at point guard. So now you're talking about guys like George Hill, if the Bucks, as expected, do not guarantee his deal for next season. Corey Joseph, guys like that. Just solid veterans who know how to play, who can defend and knock down three-pointers and help bring, young talent along. And then as far as big man, I mean, the most publicized name, just obviously given its history here, is Taj Gibson. I do believe there's somebody – I think Taj is definitely a possibility. I do think there's another player of which I don't know who the identity of this player that management is targeting as far as a big man, a veteran big man, that they think they can get in here and help not only with the wins but also in the locker room. As far as the shooter, you're talking about guys like Seth Curry, who's a restricted free agent. So you'd have to make an offer sheet on him. Wayne Ellington would be another name on that radar. So guys like that, just guys that, can knock down a shot. I will say this. I don't know, it's not like the Bulls are including me on their free agency meetings, so I don't know their tiers of their priorities. But I just in talking in general to the organization, the confidence I have come across that's emanating from them in terms of what they're going to be able to accomplish in free agency is quite palpable. So I think that they feel like they're going to really be able to solidify their roster with their salary cap space.
So let's put this all together now. The Bulls have a head coach. They've had a successful draft on paper at least, and who knows, maybe they'll make a splash in the free agent market. Now, obviously, the rebuild is still in effect, and we have to err on the side of caution, but what's your overall prediction for the Bulls as they enter the 2019-2020 season?
Are you talking win-loss total?
Sure. Let's hear a win-loss total.
Okay. I'm terrible at speculation and predictions, but I mean, okay, this is assuming health, obviously, which has eluded them quite considerably the last few seasons. But let's see, they won 22 games last year. If they're fully healthy, I see them making a 15 to 17 win jump. So I'm talking 37, 39 wins, somewhere in there. Now, that's over what I've already seen as the early Vegas predictions, which I believe is in the high 20s again. So I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. But I just think, you know, I've seen internal improvement from guys like Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine. Obviously, you're projecting internal improvement from them. I think a full season of Otto Porter. Again, this is assuming health because Otto has had some nagging injuries. But Otto is just one of those guys that if he's around all season, he's got a cumulative effect in terms of positivity both at both ends. And really, I think, impacts winning. So, you know, I just think that with the internal improvement and then obviously what they feel confident they're going to be able to accomplish in free agency, I think you're going to see a significant jump if they stay healthy.
Moving now to your sports journalism career, I had mentioned in your bio that you played Division III basketball collegiately at Beloit College before becoming a sports journalist and now the Bulls beat writer for over 20 years. What prompted the shift for you from a career on the court to a career near the court?
Well, I think you already answered that question by mentioning it was Division III because I can't think of the last Division III player that advanced past that level. So, you know, I was pretty realistic about my talent level and maxed out my playing career by, you know, playing at the level that I could for four more years after high school, and was very thankful that I did. But you know, once I you know, reached that level, I knew that was the end. So I was fortunate in that while I was in high school at Evanston High School that I identified I wanted to marry my love for sports and my love for writing, and basically knew I wanted to be a sports writer since I was in high school. So I feel fortunate I was able to accomplish that.
What made you interested in basketball from the very beginning? I mean, I know you played collegiately, then shifted to a journalistic role, but you've been a part of other beats here in Chicago for the Blackhawks and the Bears. Why have you always turned back to the Chicago Bulls and basketball in general?
I mean, I do consider myself a reporter first. So, like, you know, you throw me on, like I did two seasons on the Blackhawks, as you mentioned, and I just, you know, that your job is to be a reporter and just, you know, report on what's going on with the team. So I feel I can handle any beat. I mean, basketball is the sport I know the best. I also played soccer and baseball in high school, but basketball just was always my first love and the sport I felt most comfortable with. And I think one thing you'll notice about the NBA, if you look around the country, is there are a lot of long-time, two-decade-long beat writers. And I think part of that is that it's becoming more publicized in this day and age of social media. We've recognized just the storylines that this league produces. It's astonishing. And now it's become a year-round thing with social media and free agency and, you know, just all the crazy headlines that this league produces. But I mean, those of us who have been around it for two decades plus knew that, you know, even before the age of social media, there's just such great access and so many colorful storylines and, you know, the athletes are such personalities that it just lends itself to great storytelling. So that's something that I think also has drawn me and I think others to cover the NBA for as long as we have.
And finally, KC, before we let you go here today, since you began your tenure covering the Bulls in 1996, you've responded to a weekly Bulls mailbag where fans can send in their questions and comments, and you respond to them in an article for the Tribune. Now, my question is, what's the funniest mailbag question or response that you've received over the years?
That's putting me on the spot. I don't know what the funniest question was. There was a... And longtime readers of the mailbag will remember this guy. There's a guy from Iowa who just would call his name is Cletus, C-L-E-E-T-U-S. He was invariably a hilarious questioner, and he kind of like realized that I picked up on the bit because he wouldn't always email every week, but every time he'd offer a suggestion or offer a question, it was typically of the very humorous variety. So I would always run his answer, or his questions and answer them. But there's also a guy who for a long time was on the Bulls sign Allen Iverson bandwagon, even to the point where Allen Iverson was, you know, well retired and into his gambling career. So that was a recurring theme in the mailbag as well. But yeah, I like to try to add some humor and levity into the mailbag. Don't always accomplish that, but I certainly try to. It's a nice opportunity to use some different writing muscles and also kind of let some readers that kind of get my sense of humor in on the joke. So you can't take this stuff seriously all the time, just most of the time.
Well, KC, thank you so much for being here on the show again today. Always appreciate your insights and expertise, and hope to have you on again soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Appreciate it.
What an honor it was to welcome KC Johnson back to the show as we talk with him about the Bulls and their draft selections, some NBA free agency news, plus his amazing journalism career. And I always enjoy welcoming KC to this show because he brings in some expert analysis, some league-wide NBA knowledge, plus some jokes and some fun stories along the way. I know his schedule can be hectic at times, being the Bulls beat writer, which is why I truly appreciate him taking the time to come on today's show. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @ChiTalkSports and hit me up personally on Google+, LinkedIn, and Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Also, make sure to subscribe to the website. You can find the subscription box on the homepage of the site. Simply type in your email, click yes on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. And remember, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Simply search Sports Talk Chicago, and every podcast from the 2018-19 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and/or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening to today's show, and have a great day.